chemical reactions of the sort associated with life are actually something of a commonplace. It may be beyond us to cook them up in a lab, a la Stanley Miller and Harold Urey, but the universe does it readily enough. Lots of molecules in nature get together to form long chains called polymers. Sugars constantly assemble to form starches. Crystals can do a number of lifelike things: replicate, respond to environmental stimuli, take on a patterned complexity. They've never achieved life itself, of course, but they demonstrate repeatedly that complexity is a natural, spontaneous, entirely commonplace event. There may or may not be a great deal of life in the universe at large, but there is no shortage of ordered self-assembly in everything from the transfixing symmetry of snowflakes to the comely rings of Saturn. So powerful is this natural impulse to assemble that many scientists now believe that life may be more inevitable than we think, that it is, in the words of the Belgian biochemist and Nobel laureate Christian de Duve, an obligatory manifestation of matter, bound to arise wherever conditions are appropriate. De Duve thought it likely that such conditions would be encountered perhaps a million times in every galaxy. Certainly there is nothing terribly exotic in the chemicals that animate us. If you wished to create another living object, whether a goldfish or a head of lettuce or a human being, you would need really only four principal elements: carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, plus small amounts of a few others, principally sulfur, phosphorus, calcium, and iron. Put these together in three dozen or so combinations to form some sugars, acids, and other basic compounds, and you can build anything that lives. As Dawkins notes, there is nothing special about the substances from which living things are made. Living things are collections of molecules, like everything else. The bottom line is that life is amazing and gratifying, perhaps even miraculous, but hardly impossible, as we repeatedly attest with our own modest existences. To be sure, many of the details of life's beginnings remain pretty imponderable. Every scenario you have ever read concerning the conditions necessary for life involves water, from the warm little pond, where Darwin supposed life began, to the bubbling sea vents that are now the most popular candidates for life's beginnings. But all this overlooks the fact that to turn monomers into polymers, which is to say to begin to create proteins, involves what is known to biology as dehydration linkages. As one leading biology text puts it, with perhaps just a tiny hint of discomfort, researchers agree that such reactions would not have been energetically favourable in the primitive sea, or indeed in any aqueous medium, because of the mass action law. It's a little like putting sugar in a glass of water and having it become a cube. It shouldn't happen. But somehow, in nature, it does. The actual chemistry of all this is a little arcane for our purposes here, but it is enough to know that if you make monomers wet, they don't turn into polymers, except when creating life on Earth. How and why it happens then and not otherwise is one of biology's great unanswered questions. One of the biggest surprises in the Earth sciences in recent decades was the discovery of just how early in Earth's history life arose. Well into the 1950s, it was thought that life was less than 600 million years old. By the 1970s, a few adventurous souls felt that maybe it went back 2.5 billion years. But the present date of 3.85 billion years is stunningly early. Earth's surface didn't become solid until about 3.9 billion years ago.